This is the Freeman Podcasting Network, bringing a Judeo-Christian voice into the world of internet podcasting. We provide a fresh look at culture, history, and current events, all laced with biblical insight. My name is Mark Weaver. Visit our website at freemanpodcasting.net to learn about who we are and what we do. Your moderator for this podcast is yours truly, Mark Weaver. Have a great day. Hi, this is Mark Weaver. In a few moments, my daughter Melissa Gresham will be reading to you from the first chapter of a book that I had the privilege of co-authoring with my best friend and partner, John Jenkins. The book is titled Above the Midas Touch. It tells the story of Mary Muhlenberg, an ambitious 16-year-old who joins the California Gold Rush in 1849. Mary is the daughter of missionary parents who have come to California to minister to the Indian people displaced by the gold-seeking 49ers. Despite her own conscience and her father's warnings, Mary is touched by gold fever, exchanges her Bible for a spade, and, with the help of two young friends, begins a quest for gold. And now, Chapter 1, El Dorado, from Above the Midas Touch.
Mary Muhlenberg leaned forward on her knees and tightly gripped her spade with both hands. She angled the blade down toward the hard, bluish clay and gravel. The 16-year-old ignored the stinging streams of sweat dripping from her auburn hair into her wide-open brown eyes. She ignored the dark shadows of her two friends cast by the noonday sun. Abruptly, the loud rattling sound filling the narrow ravine halted. She did not hesitate. She plunged the spade downward and pinned the snake to the ground behind its triangular head. The snake wiggled once, then went limp. To be safe, Mary raised the spade and came down hard a second and a third time. The two brothers whooped and laughed. Mary grabbed the dead snake with both hands and flung the two pieces into a clump of nearby brush. "Last time that rattler's gonna mess with our diggings," exclaimed Tom Nielsen, who had just turned 15. He swung his shovel onto his shoulders. Billy, a year younger, patted Mary on the back. "Our diggings," Mary muttered, wiping her hands on her torn corduroy pants. They had panned the creek beds near the Feather River for nearly a month. But for what? Hardly 2 ounces of gold, though they'd started mining the same week she and her missionary parents staggered into the town of Midas. Their journey from Shawnee Mission, Kansas, to Northern California took 3 deadly months. Starting in March, they'd come west with an outfit of 18 families who called themselves the Kansas Trading Company. They'd ridden and then walked 1,000 miles over endless plains, perilous deserts, and rugged mountains. Mary didn't want to think about how many died from accidents, fever, and chills that spring. Of those who survived the journey, only her parents had chosen to live so far north of San Francisco. She scrunched her sunburned face and blew a tickling wisp of hair away from her freckled nose. Digging and sifting the rocky soil mining was hard, and when they planned the stream beds, the cold water numbed their fingers, even on a hot summer day. She sighed. As her shadow sifted, sunlight struck the blue clay and broken rock where her spade had severed the snake. A yellow glint caught her eye. Mary drew in a sharp breath. Her heart skipped a beat. Could it really be? "Tom! Billy! I found color!" She rubbed a dirty sleeve across her face to wipe the sweat and dirt away, then pulled out her knife. Hunkering down, she scraped it along a narrow crevice in the rock. The brothers dropped to their knees and yanked off their hats to get a better look. Carefully, Mary lifted her knife from the crevice. Her mouth hung open, her eyes riveted on the knife and its glittering load. Balanced on the level blade gleamed 12 thick, bright flakes of gold. "El Dorado at last!" Billy yelled at the top of his lungs. Mary watched both brothers joyously fling their tattered and dusty hats high into the air. She imagined the Spanish conquistadors who would have tossed their shining helmets too, had they ever discovered that legendary city of gold. "A real honest-to-goodness load!" Tom exclaimed. Mary yanked a leather pouch from her belt and pried it open with her fingers. Then she slowly tipped the knife. The chips of gold fell inside, one by one. They dug the clay-filled crevice most of the afternoon. More than once, they stopped to hoot and marvel. In 3 hours, they found more gold than many a seasoned miner found in 2 weeks. Mary climbed to her feet and brushed the loose dirt from her pants. With a wide smile, she tossed the pouch from one hand to the other. "I'd say we'll split at least 1 pound. Maybe more." She handed Tom the pouch so he could feel the weight of success. Tom just shook his head in disbelief, then tossed it to Billy. "At $16 an ounce, that's $80 to $90 for each of us," Mary figured out loud as she loosened her long braid of hair. What are you going to do with your share, Mary? Billy asked. I'm not sure, she said, picking up her canteen and pouring water over her upturned face. She shook the water from her thick hair. This is my first bonanza. Ours too, Tom said, snatching the pouch from Billy. We've got to stake our claim. Mary, go ahead, you found the pile. Billy grabbed their axe and handed it to Mary after she finished, weaving her hair back into a braid that reached halfway down her back. Taking the axe, Mary glanced around and found an old stump to the right side of the ravine. She walked over, swung the axe up over her head, and then slammed it down into the stump. Billy pulled a sharpened piece of charcoal from his pocket and knelt by the stump. He spoke the words proudly as he wrote them on the handle of the axe. El Dorado Claim! Tom dropped the pouch into Mary's waiting and open palm. July 28th, 1849. A day we'll all remember, Mary beamed. Now, let's go record our claim and find out what our gold is really worth.
In the chapters that follow, Mary makes an ill-advised alliance with conniving entrepreneurs from Midas, a nearby mining town. Rejecting both her father and the timely advice of a wise and respected Californian, she will not abandon her chosen path. Mary's escapades will threaten her father's work among the Feather River tribes, compromise her faith and family, and ultimately imperil not only her life, but also the lives of her friends. But by the time Mary finally comes face to face with her shortcomings, evil plans beyond her control have already been set into play. Trapped and alone, Mary must confront the darkness within herself. Only then will she be ready for the greatest test of her life, with the lives of others hanging in the balance. Above the Midas Touch is copyright 1998, Reconciliation Press. This audio presentation is copyright 2005, the Freeman Podcasting Network. Visit freemanpodcasting.net to find out how you can purchase this story and others from the Century War Chronicles series. And check out the other audio chapters online. Thanks for listening, and please visit us at freemanpodcasting.net.